The Philadelphia School District will open its doors Monday, and for the second year in a row, top district officials admit that resource levels are nowhere near sufficient, and they say children will not be getting the thorough and efficient education they're promised by the state constitution. Here to tell us more about how the district's ongoing fiscal crisis is affecting schools and children is WHYY education reporter Kevin McCrory. Hello, Kevin.
Hey, Mary.
Well, what's the feeling right now among families and educators?
It's interesting. Schools this year will have less resources than last year, so all the talk of overcrowded classrooms and there being a lack of guidance counselors and nurses and discretionary funding, that conversation stays the same. And in fact, more cuts have been made to school police officers, building maintenance, and special education. But despite all that, there hasn't been the same fervor in the air this summer. So much of this year's advocate energy was poured into getting the city to devote all the sales tax extension proceeds to schools and getting the state to pass the cigarette tax, which will also direct funds to schools. The former has happened, but the latter hasn't yet.
And that's a $2 tax per pack of cigarettes in Philadelphia. What's happening there?
Well, state lawmakers say that the cigarette tax will pass this month, but even if it does, many of the district's funding needs will continue. So many families, I think, are just exasperated by the entire conversation, which seems to go on year after year. That's not to say, though, that some schools aren't finding ways to navigate the funding shortfalls. I talked this week with Ann Brown, principal of Nebinger Elementary.
My teachers won't allow the students here to feel that we are in a crisis. They don't know we're in a crisis, even though how they know is because they hear it on the news. But if you step into Nebinger, you would never know.
Now, Nebinger is in South Philadelphia's rapidly up-and-coming Bella Vista neighborhood. And unlike some district schools, enrollment there has been consistently growing. So while most recent numbers say the school is 90% economically disadvantaged, the school does have a lot of community partnerships and parent engagement that does help generate additional revenue.
Kevin, what does that money go to?
Well, right now, Brown, for instance, says she's short on textbooks and that many of the school's laptops are unusable because she doesn't have the money to replace the batteries. But last year, partners like the Friends of Nebinger and Bella Vista Neighbors Association raised $10,000 for supplies, and she thinks they'll reach that mark again.
My community partners are saying, whatever you need, let us know, give us your wish list, and then we're going to figure out how we're going to support the school.
Well, that sounds wonderful, but of course, this is not the reality for most schools in the city, right?
Right, and that's where this funding crisis has really widened the difference between the city's haves and have-nots. Many of the district schools, as you said, serve neighborhoods and families that simply don't have the means to make up for the funding gaps. Here's a real-world example. The district said it could only afford to provide Nebinger with a guidance counselor half the week. Principal Brown instead used some of her operating fund to cover the cost of a full-time counselor, knowing that her community partners would help cover supplies and other expenses. So while many students this year won't have a full-time counselor in their building, those in Nebinger now will.
I understand you also spoke with the nurse at Nebinger, who's also the nurse for several other schools?
Yes, Ann Keenan splits time between there and four other schools, which means that for the large majority of the week, each school doesn't have a trained medical professional on the premises. I asked Keenan if her kids were getting a raw deal.
Absolutely. I almost feel like I'm enabling bad behavior by coming to work, knowing that these kids are really missing out on any quality, consistent health care and support.
As we talked, Keenan appeared visually shaken.
It really does feel like we're winging it, and that's wrong. You know, I know it's wrong, but yet I participate in it.
Last year, two students died after leaving schools where there wasn't a nurse on the premises. One of those was at Andrew Jackson Elementary, one of Keenan's five schools, where a first grader died suddenly of a rare congenital heart defect. The day of the incident, though, Keenan wasn't there.
You can't help but feel responsible at some level that I should have been there, I could have been there, I wish I was there.
What should families look out for next?
While the district is banking, like I said before, on the state legislature to pass the cigarette tax in mid-September and for collections to begin by October, if that doesn't happen, the district will have to find something else to cut and more layoffs could be on the horizon.
WHYY education reporter Kevin McCrory previewing the start of the Philadelphia school year. Thanks, Kevin.
Thanks, Mary.